Hour number two, Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Hope you're having a great Friday so far. Got another cool event that is coming to Nashville. You've probably heard the commercials for it on these airwaves. Misfit Boxing X-Series 008 coming to Nashville on July 22nd at Municipal Auditorium. It'll be broadcast around the world on DAZN. And to talk a little bit more about that, one of the participants in this awesome event is Brandon Herrera. He is on the line with us. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I am so intrigued by this because, I mean, I know you're going to be a part of it. It's kind of a mix of celebs and everybody from all across the world coming together, going to come to our city in Nashville. Tell us a little bit more for people that aren't familiar with Misfits Boxing, what they're in for.
For sure, yeah. It's kind of the whole new craze of the influencer YouTube boxing kind of world. I know I've wanted to participate in one of these for a while, honestly, just because I needed an excuse to get into shape, and this seemed like a perfect one. So as soon as I found out about it, yeah, started training up about 5 weeks ago, and it's been a really good time. The guys who are putting it together are really cool, and you know, you can take it about as seriously as you want to, and there's a lot of like actually experienced fighters in the mix, so it should be a pretty good show.
Yeah, and yeah, you can go to misfitsboxing.com for more information and to get tickets, or ticketmaster.com at Municipal Auditorium. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the kind of the YouTube influencer craze and how you know, we've seen Logan Paul obviously in WWE. I mean, there's a lot of that that's going on, but people are going to get a mix of different type of personalities, such as yourself, when they go to the event on July 22nd.
Yes, sir. People from all over the aisle, that's for sure. Whether it's, you know, the TikTok guys, I'm a gun YouTuber. We got some political dudes in there. It's just kind of a weird mix and match of different genres all over the internet. But everybody coming together and, you know, putting on a good boxing show, hopefully.
I think what I'm curious about is how a Survivor tag team boxing match is going to work. I mean, being a wrestling fan, I'm very familiar with tag team matches, but I've never seen that in boxing before.
To be honest, I think this is their first time trying it out. I've never seen that before either, so I'm kind of curious exactly what the rules are going to be for that, because that sounds kind of chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, like, is it like a tornado tag? They're all in there at the same time. Like, you actually got to tag the guy. I think we're all going to learn together.
I know one way or the other, it's not going to be boring.
No, that is very true. So it's my understanding you live in Nashville, right?
No, sir. I'm actually down here in San Antonio, okay. Texas. But I love Nashville. I will go any excuse to go to Nashville. I'm down.
Yeah, and I mean, you see so many different events that come to this city. Why do you think it was important for Misfits Boxing to bring another event here?
Well, you know, I know everybody's doing, you know, boxing matches either, you know, in Vegas, or they're doing some in London and whatnot. But, you know, Nashville's kind of the heart of the boxing crowd. You know, a lot of people there love their fight sports and whatnot. And, you know, I think it's just a great audience down there. I know I personally am in love with it. I call Nashville Redneck Vegas, and I mean that in the best way possible.
Hey, we'll take it in stride, that is for sure. Well, it's going to be a fun event for sure. July 22nd, Municipal Auditorium. Again, Ticketmaster.com, you get tickets. MisfitsBoxing.com for more information. Brandon, appreciate the time this morning, and have the best of times, and good luck on July 22nd.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Again, Brandon Herrera with Misfits Boxing joining us here on the show. You can also watch it on DAZN around the world Saturday, July 22nd, live at Municipal Auditorium. I am so intrigued by a tag team boxing match. That's something.
That's going to be interesting. Like you mentioned, I don't know if it's a tag team, man, like you tag somebody in. I have seen some like cage fights where people, not like wrestling cage fights, but like actual MMA fights, where you have like two to three guys in the same cage and they're all fighting at the same time. It's a bit odd.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to get Jared in a celebrity boxing match.
Yeah, why has that not been a thing yet?
I think it would be fun. I don't think he would do it, but I think it would be fun.
I agree.
If we could get him to do that.
I'd pay good money for it, you know.
Oh, who wouldn't? Of course you would, for sure. But anyway, go to misfitsboxing.com, ticketmaster.com for more tickets. Max Herz is making his way into the studio as we're going to spend the rest of the hour with him talking about some things going on with the Predators. As yesterday, Ryan O'Reilly was introduced to the Smashville media. There was some news leadership-wise with the Predators today that we'll get into, but as he gets settled in here, hello, Max.
Man, Nick Frazier just booted me off my usual mic and into this terrible chair that I think only D-Mace likes.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I'm not settled.
Listen, you can grab that chair and bring it over if you'd like. I don't shoot the messenger. I'm just doing my job, all right?
Hey, he's just here so he won't get fined.
Exactly, Chase. Exactly.
That's what he's doing. What were your kind of impressions of Ryan O'Reilly yesterday? I mean, that was a signing that I feel like a majority of us like. It was a surprise, I think. I you know, with Barry Trotz going into the offseason, into the draft, into free agency, he talked about big swings, but he also talked about that it wasn't that strong of a free agent class. He didn't expect to be that active in free agency, and he's done the complete opposite. And Ryan O'Reilly was one of those signings.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where O'Reilly fits with the team in terms of lineup. Gotta be at center, right?
I mean,
Barry Trotz said they could use him at the wing and they like the versatility, but I think that's more of a couple years down the road in the four-year contract type thought right there. Who goes to the wing of the top three centers? Is it Novak? Is it Parsonen? I think both might get looks there. I don't think either of them would be crazy about it. I would personally like to see Parsonen stay at center. But these are more topics for September, for training camp time, for preseason time. In terms of yesterday, I thought O'Reilly was great. And the answer that you played right at the beginning of the press conference, I agree with you that Joe asked a great question there. I thought that was the highlight of the presser, so I'm glad you highlighted that answer.
Yeah, I mean, look, talking about mentorship, I don't think any player is, you know, if you go, hey, I'm just bringing you in to be a mentor. I mean, that's not the selling point. Like, you're coming in to play and you're coming in to contribute. But I think that's a huge part of it. And whether that discussion was really had up front or, you know, if it's one like, hey, we're going to discuss this more now that you're here, it's an important one because the truth of it is Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette are trying to change the culture. And it's not that what was here was terrible and they're terrible people. Like, that's not what I mean, but they weren't winning and it was time to make a change. It's tough decisions. It's the reason that they moved on from John Hines. It's the reason that they moved on from Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. We all love Ryan Johansson. He's a great guy and was great for the community, but eventually you got to kind of hit the reset button. You got to figure out who's going to be a part of this core, and to develop that core, you need guys that can lead by example. I mean, I keep referencing Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher was a great player, but Mike Fisher also set the table for what was next after he was gone. I think Ryan O'Reilly can do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike appreciates all the mentions you've given him, by the way, over the last
couple
weeks. I'm
sure. He's married to somebody famous, according to Joe Dubin.
I saw that on Channel 4 one time. I don't know. Yeah. I was really mad about that. No, just kidding.
That was great.
Shout out to Joe, who I'm sure is listening, because
he's
what else would he be doing? But that big old banner that they put on the front of the arena every year, I think the one this season could just say Nashville Predators under new management.
Yeah.
They truly are, in the way that any business would be who's putting up that sign, under new management. And yeah, there's a lot of consistency with the first coach in team history becoming the second GM and getting the handoff and overlapping with David Poile, which was a great way to do it. And I think helped both Poile and Trotz in so many different things in the last 4 or 5 months, because Barry was in on all the trades from the deadline on. And then David was in on free agency. And Trotz said in the afternoon on July 1st in his press conference, there were a few things today that I would not have known how to do if David Poile were not still here on his first official day of retirement.
Right.
So they have shared it in so many ways, and it's been great. And Andrew Brunette has so much history with the Preds, of course, coming back to be the coach. But it is totally new. Everybody has a clean slate. And I think it shows with everything they just did. I mean, they dumped two players who had been on two of the longest, highest value deals in the history of the franchise. And then they stuck with their guns. They're going to let the young guys who did well last season have their chances and, for the most part, keep the spots they had when they played at their best and earned it. And Barry Trotz said the last month of the season confirmed that that was what he was going to do. It wasn't a given. And then they got three clean slate new veterans to come in and placehold for the next group of guys that's coming up.
I hate comparisons and like comparing one team to another, but I'm going to do it coming up next. Because I just get that vibe on something. Max Herz is in with us for the rest of the hour. You can ask him some Predators questions if you would like. 615-737-1025 or our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's the Chase McCabe Show, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe Show, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Max Herz hanging out with us this morning. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos as well. Talking a little Predators, Ryan O'Reilly introduced yesterday to the media. And the comparison I was going to make, I'm just starting to get vibes. And you may remember this, Max, even though you may have been in Pittsburgh at the time. But 07-08, that year, was right after they had gone for it in 06-07. They had traded for Peter Forsberg. Paul Kariya was on the team. All that. And then Craig Leopold decided, hey, I'm going all in. And then if it doesn't work, I'm out. And so the team was up for sale. There was a lot of uncertainty. So David Poile basically had a fire sale. And so Scotty Hartnell, Kimmo Timonen were traded to Philadelphia. Thomas Wilkun was traded to Florida. Trying to think who that was. You know, they had traded Scotty Upshaw, you know, as a part of the Forsberg and everything. So the team looked a lot different, but it had heart. I mean, there was, you know, some of the signings that were made. I think that was when they brought in like Marcel Gotch and Joel Ward and, you know, that kind of era. It kind of feels similar right now that like they've made these big sweeping changes, obviously for different reasons, but they're bringing guys in that still can help you. You know, they're not at their prime. Ryan O'Reilly's not at his prime anymore, but they have that grit and they have that heart. And it's a very much a Predator way, Barry Trotz type team.
Yeah. And the thing that jumped right into my head at the end of the day on July, Nyquist was also on July 1st, right? O'Reilly,
yeah, yeah.
Shen, and Nyquist were all on the same day.
Yep.
The thing that went into my head at the end of that day was, the Predators just signed three players who were veteran trade deadline rentals at the most recent trade deadline.
Yep.
Shen went from the Canucks to the Leafs, O'Reilly went from the Blues to the Leafs, and Nyquist went from the Blue Jackets to the Wild, although he did not play much for them because he was traded while he was hurt, I think.
Yeah.
And he played in the final the second to last game of the regular season in Nashville for the Wild, and I was hosting pregame for that game, and I was shocked he was on the Wild because they were playing basically minor leaguers in that game. They had nothing left to play for. And then Gustav Nyquist was on the top line, and I think it was his second game for them. But you got to think about these guys who all just got multiple years from the Preds. Nyquist, 2 years, $3.2 million a year. Shen, 3 years, $2.75 a year. O'Reilly, 4 years, $4.5 million a year. You got to think about these guys, even though they got multiple years, these are trade deadline rental type players. These are veterans who you bring in not to be the best player on your team, but to accentuate, in a rental sense, teams that are going for it. And in the Pred sense, it's teams that are a team that is going for it long term. And they feel like they have most of the pieces already. They will continue to draft more. The players they just drafted, like Matt Wood, are part of that, as Barry Trotz has said. But these guys are like, I don't know if pre-rentals would be the right way to say it, because they're all signed to multiple years, but they are that type of veteran. They all just were traded with value for a couple of months as trade deadline rentals, and that is the type of player that Barry Trotz is trying to surround Cody Glass, Luke Evangelista, Alex Carrier, Dante Fabbro, these young guys, trying to surround them with that rental-type player, but in a longer-term tenure. And I think they'll reap very similar benefits to that, like they did with Ryan McDonough last year. And obviously, McDonough hasn't gone anywhere and will continue to be one of the leaders of the team, as essentially a second captain along with Roman Josi, because that's how it played out toward the end of the season, especially when Josi was injured.
You mentioned, and we'll hit on some of these players individually, but you mentioned Cody Glass, and they get his contract situation taken care of,
good deal.
Which was good, a good deal for both sides, I believe. Where does he fit into all of this? Because I thought last year was kind of the Cody Glass coming out party.
He's your top line center for hopefully the next 10 years, right? I don't think there's any other hope, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would be – I think that Barry's still going to be looking for that true bona fide number one center that this organization has really never had. But I think the hope is Cody Glass can fit into the plans for a long time, like you said.
Yeah, and Trotz pointed out pretty quickly and unprovoked that he wants Nyquist to play with Glass. And I think Nyquist is your best winger. He's definitely your most proven winger.
Yeah.
So you're putting your best winger with the guy who you think is your best center. So O'Reilly probably the second center then at that point. But I think the Glass-Nyquist pair is going to get every chance to thrive under Andrew Brunette. And I'm curious to see what Glass looks like under Brunette too, because he was so good in all three areas down the stretch last year. He became a complete player. As someone who was scratched just as much at the beginning of the season as Ellie Tolvanen was, he was someone who was really, really low in the dumps too.
Yeah.
And he came out and he ended up having an amazing year. So I think that's what they envision for Glass. It took a little while, and it's so weird to think about the expectations for him big picture, because he was a first-round pick of a different team, of the Golden Knights, but because of that, he came to Nashville with expectations because he was a younger, recent top 10 pick who had not fulfilled much at the NHL level, and everybody's talked about his injuries and all of that, but the trade the Predators got him in was like a triple win for the Preds. They got Ryan Ellis' contract off the books. He basically never played again in the NHL for the Flyers. Nolan Patrick went from the Flyers to the Golden Knights, who was kind of the same as Glass in terms of age and potential. He's done nothing, and the Knights just non-tendered him after he basically never played in the NHL for them. And then the Preds got Glass, who's going to be their number one center this year. Like, what an unbelievable three-team trade. Three players moved, and two of the three who moved were like the biggest trade wins possible for the Preds, with Ellis going away and losing that salary cap and Glass coming in.
Max Herz is with us talking about the Predators and some of the moves that they have made. Gustav Nyquist, of course, is somebody you brought up. Gerionov was one. Dennis Gerionov was one they made earlier this week, and you and I were kind of talking about it during the break. I mean, this is where the logjam comes into play with forwards, because you got Cole Smith, you got McCarron, you got some other guys that are going to kind of be fighting for the same spot, and now he's in the mix.
Yeah, the guys who were,
Kiefer Sherwood,
for the most part, the fourth liners at the end last year, Sherwood was playing top six. I imagine he isn't as needed in that role this year, although they've seen that he can do it, and he's a good forecheck guy. So he has value in that role if they bring him back up there. But bringing in Dennis Gurianov, who was traded from the Stars, his original team, to the Canadiens at the deadline this year, and then non-tendered and became a UFA. He would have been $2.5 million a year as a restricted free agent if he were tendered. Preds got him for $850,000, which is a little bit over league minimum. So you're now bringing in Gurianov as an outside guy and a goal scorer, pretty much offense-only, shoot-only guy who's dipped a little bit the last few years, but his shooting percentages have been low. So he's probably had some bad puck luck in there, and I think you hope that that can come up. And he competes with guys who you know last year what they're going to bring. You signed them towards the end of the season, many of them to two-way deals, knowing you want to bring them back in the exact same role and have them compete and push guys who are maybe above them in theory. It's Kiefer Sherwood, Cole Smith, Mark Jankowski, Michael McCarron, and now Gurianov's in that mix too. And Gurianov is a potential power play guy. I don't know if he's a top unit guy. I'm excited to see who Andrew Brunette puts on the top unit as the head coach who will be running the power play himself. Gurianov may be a second unit guy, but that's a point of value for him where none of the other guys I named are true power play guys. Sherwood played there some, and I think was pretty good there, but it was more out of necessity than anything else last year. So I like the move. You just got to give yourself options. They have cap space if they want to bring in 3-4 more of those type of guys. And some of the players who are still free agents are interesting. He just got signed to go back to the Blues where he'd been. But Oscar Sundqvist is one of those type of guys who I wouldn't mind seeing in a bottom six here. And I mean, there's no harm in loading up on guys like that. And I think Gurjanov is a free flyer, if nothing else. I love that they signed him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's not a move that has been made that I don't like. I mean, there's, you know, the Shin one was, I guess, the closest to a head scratcher, but at the same time, I get it. And
yeah.
So I think it, you're just giving yourself options when it comes to defense.
Right. Well, Shen is the same thing. I mean, I think it's equally likely that by January, February, March, it's equally likely that he is on the top pair playing with Josi as he is on the bottom pair playing with Lauzon, or yeah. if Livingstone plays the left side, Livingstone. I mean, it can shake out so many different ways. They have 8, 9, depending exactly how you look at it, with someone like Spencer Stastny, probably 9 legit possible NHL defensemen right out of the chute next year. And Stastny and Livingstone will both have waiver eligibility, so they'll be able to go down to the AHL for free. So that does not help them in camp, but I think if they have good camps, they have a shot. But the way Barry Trotz justified the signing of Luke Shen for 3 years is as someone to protect Roman Josi.
Right.
To be physical on the back end. And I would have loved to follow up or have someone follow up in what was a very long press conference, so there wasn't a ton of following up left to do, but about whether that means whether he has to play with Roman Josi to protect Roman Josi or just exist on the same D-core to protect Roman Josi, because I think either is justifiable.
We'll have more Predators discussion coming up next. Real quick, the NCAA has made their ruling on Tennessee. They'll get 5 years of probation, a reduction in football scholarships by a total of 28 during the term of the probation, including at least 2 scholarships each year. Tennessee had previously self-imposed and is credited with 16 scholarship reductions from 21 to 22 and 22 to 23. And some other things that they self-imposed and got credit for. Jeremy Pruitt, 6-year show cause penalty from the NCAA. No bowl ban for Tennessee, but the NCAA coming out with their ruling when it comes to the Vols and what happened with their football team. We'll have more with Max Hurst coming up next. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Alongside Max Herz, Nick Frazier here on this Friday. Talking a little Predators. And this is the fun part in July of trying to figure out what the lines are going to look like. I was just jotting down what I think. And I immediately, like, there's a ton of scratches. Like, oh, wait, no, what about him? Because the hard part is,
well,
like,
there are literally a ton of scratches. We do have two
right.
players.
Yeah, I mean, it's just thinking about all the players that were on the team, you know, towards the end of the year, the young players that you want to see. I mean, in doing all of this, like if you're of the mindset, okay, Cody Glass is going to be the number one center. So let's just say down the middle, it's Cody Glass, Juuso Parsson, and Ryan O'Reilly. Those three. Is Tommy Novak centering the fourth line? Is Colton Sisson centering the fourth line? Is Novak moving to wing? What does that mean for Evangelista? What does that mean for Tomasino? I mean, those are the questions that keep popping up. You answer one, and then more pop up.
All right, well, I have my stab if you want me to stab.
Yeah.
So Preds lines for next season. Cody Glass, top line, says we've established we're agreeing on. With Gustav Nyquist on the left wing, who Barry Trotz says wants to play with Cody Glass. And then the right wing, I could have gone with either Phil Tomasino or Luke Evangelista here. I went with Tomasino just because he played with Glass more down the stretch. Again, yeah. Under new management, clean slate. Those were John Hines lines, not Andrew Burnett lines. So I think it could be either of those guys. I just think Tomasino is probably a little more likely to make the team out of camp since Barry Trotz has kind of said not everyone who finished with the team is guaranteed to open with the team. So I think Tomasino kind of already went through that last year. So I think he's more likely to make the opening night roster than Evangelista. So I went Nyquist, Glass, Evangelista, or excuse me, Nyquist, Glass, Tomasino. Second line with Parsson in the middle. Philip Forsberg loves playing with Juuso Parsson. And obviously, my brain is impacted by the Preds injuries of last year. I'm an idiot for saying that Gustav Nyquist is the best winger on the team.
It's okay.
Obviously Philip Forsberg, but like the way the team was at the end of last season, like I just got so in the habit of not including Forsberg, which sure. is just like it felt like he was traded away too, which of course he won't be. But he's your best forward. So I've got Forsberg with Parsonen because I know he loves playing with Parsonen and the chances he got to play with him last year. And then I put Evangelista on that right wing. I think if Novak is going to play wing, he could be an option there sure. too. That would be fun. Either way, you've got a shooter over there. I think Evangelista is a great passer. We saw that playmaking ability of his that worked at the NHL level. And also, I think underratedly was a bigger part of his game at the AHL level. He was a goal per game and an assist per game in junior where he set all these OHL records and won the scoring title there. And then in the AHL last season, before he came up, he had way more assists than goals. And it was just about him playmaking for who's on his line. So I think if he plays with Philip Forsberg, he can get 50 assists.
Yeah.
If he plays a full season.
Yeah.
And Parsonen in the middle does both. He wins pucks. He's so good.
Oh, he's fun.
He was out for 2.5 months with an injury that we originally thought was going to be minor, that we just thought was a stinger in San Jose in February. And then he comes back in the last week of the season after they've done so much crazy overachieving without him, scores the goal of the year. Like, all I could say after the game on radio was, I hope you guys didn't forget how good Juuso Parsonen is. And I told him that, too. I was like, I hope nobody forgot how good you are. And he laughed, which is a large reaction from him. My favorite player to interview on the team, by the way, Juuso Parsonen.
I know. He is your favorite.
Parsonen, Forsberg, Evangelista. Best interview answer from Juuso Parsonen last year said that if you pay attention in school in Finland, you learn perfect English. He paid attention.
I like it.
All right, third line, O'Reilly in the middle. So I went Evangelista second line. If Novak is going to play the wing, I've got him on the third line wing right now with O'Reilly, which might not be an amazing fit, but that's just kind of where he fell and what I got. Then on the left wing, I'm putting Gurianov there.
Okay.
So two new guys and someone changing positions. Gurianov, I guess Gurianov's a right wing. So Gurianov on right wing, Novak on left wing, and O'Reilly in the middle. And then the fourth line is the modified herd, Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin, and either Cole Smith or Kiefer Sherwood on the right with Mike McCarron and Mark Jankowski as your extra forwards.
Okay. I like that. A couple of questions that arise from that is, number one, if you put Novak in the bottom six, do you still feel like he has a spot on one of the power play units?
Oh, yeah. He'll be on the top power play. Can I give you what I hope the top power play is?
Sure.
I'm honestly much more impassioned about this than the lines or pairs.
Oh, sure.
And I'm going to write it out just to make sure I have five people before I name six people.
And then I'll ask you my other question. That is a result.
And the five people are, it's going to have two defensemen. So hockey analytics people, close your ears, I guess. But they're both really good at power play. Roman Josi and Tyson Barrie, both on it. And then Tommy Novak on a flank, Philip Forsberg on the other flank, Cody Glass, that front.
I could see it.
And then the second unit would be Parsonen, Evangelista, Gurianov, I guess one defenseman, so probably Carrier. And then I guess Tomasino would be my fourth forward there.
Yeah, I could see that. The only difference that I might make is splitting Josi and Barrie just because.
No, I won't allow
I know
you to
I know
that.
What you want.
I won't
but,
allow
but
you to
Barrie,
do that.
But Barrie can quarterback. And so Josi could quarterback one unit, Barrie could quarterback the other.
I think Josi is better not quarterback in the unit though.
So let Barrie quarterback and then
put Josi on the right wing flank so he's on his one timer side. Either Novak or Forsberg on the other side on the left. Probably Phil, so he's on his one-timer. Unless you want Phil in the bumper. Either Phil or Novak in the bumper, and Glass definitely net front.
So the other question that arose from your lines, you mentioned Tomasino last year kind of went through. He played a good chunk of the season the year before, and then he was in Milwaukee most of the year last year. We saw him when he came back that was a big benefit. We know Barrie Trotz. All roads to Nashville go through Milwaukee. And even though Luke Evangelista has been there, would it be beneficial to him, you know, if he – and I think it's contingent on the camp he has. But let's say he doesn't have a very good camp. Do you think that it would be wise to send him back to Milwaukee for a little bit, for a little more seasoning?
Well,
overcooking is Barry.
Do we think Tomasino's camp was bad last year, or it just wasn't great?
No, I think – honestly – I think Tomasino, probably it was just the waiver situation.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
But I
think he still benefited from
it. Yeah, and I mean, if you're keeping Evangelista next year, you're sending down someone through waivers who you've – these guys all went through waivers at the end of the season to get down for the AHL playoffs. Jankowski, Sherwood, McCarron all did.
Yeah.
Smith did not go down, but I don't think it would be Smith who got waived in that situation anyway. But – I think to start the AHL season with Evangelista, Kimmel, and Afanasyev all there would be interesting, because those three guys would be competing for call-ups.
Yeah.
In the same sense that Parsonen was at the beginning of last year. He wasn't the first guy to get the call, and that really fueled him when Mark Jankowski went up before he did. Parsonen said as much.
Afanasyev is another one that I think is interesting. I mean, like,
I think he's starting in the AHL.
Yeah, I do too.
But he will play in the NHL.
But, I mean, okay, I have a question on him that I'll ask coming up next. Max Herr's in today talking some Predators. Again, if you're just tuning in, Tennessee, 5 years probation. I believe it's an $8 million fine. Jeremy Pruitt, 6-year show cause penalty for their
violations.
He does
not violations. Work there anymore.
I know.
Correct. I'm just making sure.
No, he does not.
I'm asking you.
I know. Okay. He does not. I don't even know where he works now. He was with the Giants, but
wasn't he at the Saban coaching rehabilitation program?
I think he did go through the Nick Saban head coaching rehabilitation program for a minute, and then he went to the NFL. And he could be working at McDonald's for all I know. He likes McDonald bags, so
he does not like asparagus.
Maybe you never know. But we will get into more of that coming up next. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You know, it's occurring to me, Max Herr is in studio with us, Nick Frazier doing a fantastic job on the ones and twos. Now that we've kind of established the new show, we got to find a final segment song. You know, that's something that we typically do. Keezer had like his for this show, and he had it for the midday show. Now it's your turn. You gotta find one. I leave it in your capable hands.
That was my number one question when I woke up this morning was, what am I going to play for a show close?
I will tell you, I like upbeat. Like, I love Led Zeppelin, but like I like upbeat. I thought, like, when he did Wild Thing, like the closer thing, you know, that. So I would say
interesting.
Hell's Bells, Inner Sandman. Like,
we're on the same page. Okay.
Something like that. I'd be cool with that. Welcome to the Jungle. You know, any of those things. Kind of like a good closer song. Max just sitting here laughing.
I just love that the commercial breaks are just all you on the show that's also just you. It's
yeah,
amazing.
Basically. Yeah,
it's so great.
It's
Chase McCabe. Chase McCabe. Welcome back to Chase McCabe.
It has been it's been the long game of just my takeover. And it's working.
Really hasn't taken that long.
No.
Well, I mean, intro?
Give yourself more credit.
Hey, Max, you like his intro? Roman Reigns? Love it.
No,
he doesn't know
wrestling. WWE
He's not a wrestling guy.
No, he's not. Okay, so I mentioned Igor Afanasyev, and we both agree that he's going to be starting with Milwaukee. I think he's a good player. I think he can play in the NHL, but I feel like everything he runs into, he just runs into a logjam. So at what point do they address that, or do they address that? Like, whether there's room for him or not, or would it make sense that, you know, when you get to the trade deadline, could he be a piece somewhere that maybe there's a team that would like him at the NHL level?
Well, I'm sure there are teams that would like him, but what are you getting back for him?
Right. And that's a huge.
I don't think
question.
The Preds are going to be adding at the trade deadline this year.
No,
like, even if they're doing well, I don't think they're going to be adding. So, I mean, unless one of the three new people in the organization, you got to remember the assistant GMs are all the same.
Yeah.
So the only new people are Barry Trotz as the GM, Andrew Brunette as the head coach, and Derek McKenzie as an assistant coach. So I don't think there's a lot that changes that would change the organizational view on Afanasyev. I think you just give him time if he needs it. And I think he was good in the NHL in the 2-3 weeks he was up at the end of the year before getting sent back down for the end of the regular season and the playoffs, he did not have a lot of ice time. He did not really get to play in the top six much. He got a little bit of power play, which was only second unit. But he had some shots that probably should have gone in and got unlucky, either got saved or hit the post or somebody committed a penalty on him that didn't get called on a scramble in front, things like that. So I don't think his numbers show kind of the chance creation he had at the NHL level, especially because he was mostly playing with McCarron and Jankowski in a role that probably is not suited for him long term, kind of like Tomasino did 2 years ago, basically only playing fourth line. So I think you take a longer look and see what you have in him. And then if he's earned a call up, especially if he's outperforming Kimmel, then you can call him up as early as November, December if you want.
So defense. You got Tyson Barry, Alex Carrier, Dante Fabro, obviously Roman Josi, Ryan McDonough, Jeremy Lauzon, Luke Shin, and then Livingstone and Stastny will be in the mix as well. Logjam at defense. Now, what's interesting about this is Barry, Carrier, Fabro have 1 year left on their deals. To me, not all three of those guys are here at the end of the year. I think that you can evaluate, and depending on where you are. Now, if they're leading the division and all of a sudden, like, this is the hottest team in hockey and they're the Cincinnati Reds of the NHL and shocking people, then that changes. That could change the story. But, you know, I could see Barry Trotz looking at potentially moving one of the three or potentially two of the three, depending on what he's looking for at the trade deadline. And that's also contingent on what Stastny and Livingstone are doing as well.
Yeah. Well, Stastny and Livingstone looked good in brief NHL looks.
They did.
I think out of the eight, one of those, there were eight names you said, right? I think out of the eight, one of those two is going to have to start the year in the AHL. And you're not going to carry eight D-men.
They have in the past.
So the competition, I think, is between Livingstone and Stastny for an NHL spot in camp. And I want to talk to more people about Livingstone's contract because I was a little surprised that he was okay with a two-way deal. But he was. So, I mean, obviously he's been a pro for a week. But just a unique situation coming out of college right into the NHL at the end of the season. So the pairs will be interesting. I think it's a total clean slate. So this is an extreme guess. I stuck to left, right as much as I could. I think Shen will get a look to play with Josi. Barry Trotz talked about how he spent last year and more than just last year playing with Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, who's a really speedy left defenseman who jumps in as a real playmaker, has tons of assists in his first few NHL seasons, and then played with Morgan Riley in Toronto, who's not as young but kind of in equal player. So I think Josi and Shen could be interesting if Trotz really does want Luke Shen to protect Roman Josi physically and prevent guys from taking runs at him. That would leave the second pair as a pretty obvious to me, Tyson Barry and Ryan McDonough together, who played together last year.
Yeah.
I still think McDonough and Josi together worked really, really well last season. And again, clean slate. Nothing that happened last year means too much in terms of what worked well because it didn't lead the team to the playoffs and the coach has changed and the GM has changed and an assistant coach has changed. But I don't know if you start there with two of your lefties together when you potentially only have three lefties out of seven on the NHL roster.
Was it McDonough that played the offhand?
No, it was Josi.
It was Josi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was good at it too. But what was I saying? I think it's an option. I don't think you start there because you don't have a lot of lefty, but I think you can go to it if you need to, like they did last year when Ekholm and McDonough didn't work out through October. So I got McDonough and Tyson Barry as my second pair. And then the third pair, either Lauzon or Fabro with Carrier. Barry Trotz has said he really wants Carrier to get a full, healthy look.
Yeah,
he wants a full, healthy evaluation of Alex Carrier.
Yeah, I agree, and I kind of got that vibe from him that he doesn't he doesn't have the full picture yet when it comes to Carrier. And, you know, how many times have we heard Hal Gill
say...
Does anybody have the full picture? No, no. And how many times have we heard Hal Gill say, you know, defense is probably the hardest thing to evaluate because it takes the most time for a guy to get comfortable. I mean, I think we're truly just seeing Dante Fabbro, you know, kind of grow into it. And, you know, we think we know what he is, but he showed signs at the end of last year that, okay, now that's the guy that they were looking for. That's the guy that they hoped that he could be. But can he consistently do it?
Yeah, I think he had 2 to 3 weeks kind of around the trade deadline that were really good.
Yep.
I think Carrier is the more proven of the two right now, most likely. And it's not really about playing time or production per se. I just think Carrier at his best that we've seen is better than Fabbro at his best that we've seen. But it's been in shorter spurts. It was exclusively 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Carrier.
Right.
And then you've got Jeremy Lauzon, who would probably be the 7th in this case. Are we talking about 9 people?
We are.
You said 8.
No, there's 7 on the roster right now. And then if you add Livingstone and Stastny, it's 9.
So that's why I asked you if it was 8.
They could carry 8.
I was doubting it.
They could carry 8.
Then I guess in that scenario, Stastny and Livingstone both go down.
Yeah.
But all 9 of those guys will play in the NHL.
Max,
season.
Thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We will do this again for sure.
Can I give a 1-sentence PSA?
Yes.
I want to talk about the schedule, which is now out. You can see it on
NHL
app. No, my only PSA is just so people know, the Predators' first regular season game is on Tuesday, October 10th. It's a road game. It is at 4:30. I just want everyone to know, the first game of the season is at 4:30 on a Tuesday. It's part of a national TV triple header on ESPN. It is the first game of the NHL season. So just don't be confused.
Okay. I like it. Thanks, Max. Appreciate it. That's going to do it for us. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.